This last part is from the Sermon on the Mount again. And again, it's about trust. It's about gathering stuff to ourselves to be safe. You know, Paul is allergic to that. When people keep the law to be safe, you're safe in the mercy of God. That's where you're safe. Here, the safe is, I got enough. I got a good car, I got money in the bank, I know where my food's coming from, so I'm safe. And Jesus says, no, you're only safe when you trust God. So I'm going to look at part of the text, starting with verse 24, starting with verse 19. Our reading starts with 24, but there's some key lines that set the tone for that, so I'm going to look at them. Do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth, literally, where the moth can eat and the mold can come, and where thieves can dig in and steal. Why dig in? These are houses made of mud. And so thieves would dig out the mud, slide in, grab the stuff, and get out. So remember how they let the man through the roof? It's like that. And so that's the way thieves work. They weren't second story. They were dig a hole in the wall thieves. Which reminds me of something. One of the great spiritual directors of the Fathers in the Desert used to say now to his young charge, now look, this is like second story thievery. When we're on the job, you do everything I tell you to do it, right and how I tell you to do it. Otherwise, we're going to get discovered and go to jail. But when I tell you to pray, you pray. When I tell you to repent, you repent. You see, this is second story work, but a different kind of thief. Okay. Store up treasure for yourselves, treasures in heaven, where the moth and the can't come in and the thieves don't dig out. And then in verse 21, we have the cardinal principle that our Lord gives. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Just look at, what do I think about all day? What's on my mind all day? What am I thinking about? Am I thinking of advancing me? Am I thinking of making myself safe? Am I thinking about all the people who hurt me? You see? Or am I thinking of Jesus? That's my treasure. That's the principle upon which he's going to base all of this text. I'll wait till I get there now. You see? The lamp of the body is the eye. But if your eye is a plus, you know, then simple, then the whole body will be full of light. Now, what do they mean by a simple eye? See, that's a very kind of Semitic phrase. The opposite of a simple eye, a lightsome eye, is a dark eye. Says in Psalm 72, you know, if you remember the psalm, how good God is to Israel, to those who are pure of heart. Me, I almost slipped. I watched how the rich are always comfortable, and the poor, they're not. And I said, what's this about justice? I think I'll follow them. However, if I were to talk like that, this is his meditation. See? If I were to talk like that, I would contradict Moses, Jeremiah, all the great saints. That can't be right. But it got to be a problem too hard for me until I entered the holy places of God, the temple, wherever, in his heart. Then I saw what becomes of them. Life is short. And boop, off they go to the pit. See, whereas I'm not going to lose this union with God even when I'm dead. That's a psalmist talking. That's the Old Testament. But he knows that. Okay. But here you see, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is simple, literally, I don't know how they don't have a translation here, then your whole body is lightsome. There's a wonderful text in Proverbs. The good eye, he will be blessed because he gave of his bread to the poor man. Now this is just a bit of a psychosomatic psychology. Greedy people, scheming people, their eyes are never at rest. They never, and they gleam. It says in that psalm that I just started to quote, they're fat, and their eyes gleam, amidst the fat. Big fat eyes. I mean, you've seen these people, right? And they're crooks. And if they don't change, and you know, they're smiling at you, but you know that they are just trying to get something out of you, and you know it. You see? Whereas a simple eye is a clear eye. You see? But if your eye is evil, and it's the word they use, poneros, scheming, gleams amid the fat, then your whole body is dark. And if the light in you is dark, what kind of dark is that? There's no light in you. Now, you meet people like this, right? Why didn't you pray for them? I mean, they are so unto themselves. They're scheming, they're robbing, they're killing, they're doing whatever. And it shows in their eyes. The Old Testament is, in fact, this remarkable book by a man by the name of Dorme, Dhorme, on the parts of the body as mediating ideas and impressions. It's quite a book. And I have it here somewhere in the library. Okay. Now the part we have that starts where we are. Nobody can serve two masters. You see? He'd either hate one and love the other, or be attached to one and despise the other. Now, what are the two masters? You can't serve God and money. That's all. Now, that's one of the big sins of our culture. I remember an Italian fellow was telling me one day, you Americans have taught the world greed. Not that we don't like money, and but greed, everything is money. Everything you do is money. Now, that's not all true for every American, but it's a characteristic of our culture, right? Money. And so, you see, you can't do both. One of the words that's used is, for instance, in Ephesians 4 someplace, is pleonexia, the desire always to have more. You think if I had $1 trillion, I'd be at rest? No. I got to guard that, but then I want to get more. You never know. It might go away. I need some more. Don't you see how that's the opposite of trust? And so, as I've said, our preoccupation is with money as a means to an end, you see? You cannot serve God and mammon, which is a word that ultimately is a Semitic word, means what you rely on, from Amman. Okay. Now, it says in verse 26, therefore, what's the therefore? Well, if you're serving money, the key is in this next word. Do not worry. Don't worry. Who sleeps well? The guys with a lot of money or the guys who don't have much? The guys who don't have much. The guys with a lot of money, they're always worrying about their money. Now, can you find exceptions to that? Sure. But the word that's going to come now over and over again in this text, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times from here on, is worry. You see? I say, mi merimnate, don't worry about your psyche, your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to put on. Isn't your life more than food and the body more than clothes? You see, our Lord's, you see, that's why he says, therefore. It follows from being worried about money, gathering money. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, I say to you, stop doing it. Don't worry. Now, he doesn't mean don't be intelligent, especially when we're talking to lay people. You know, there is a word I want to put in here that will, I hope, shed some light on this. There is a text in Luke 14:33. Every one of you who does not renounce his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now that's a reading. I think it's in cycle 3. I was driving to the parish church. I help out every week. And I said, Lord, look, I skip it. They skip it. We never pay any attention to that line. That's not honest. I've got to preach on that line. What am I going to say? That unless they all renounce their possessions, they can't even be disciples? And the Lord in his mercy said, look, I know they've got to raise their children. I know they've got to pay their mortgage. What I mean is this. Let them turn all their money over to me. Let them consult me. Shall I buy a new car? Shall I buy a new sofa? Shall I, you know, let me be the one who guards their money for them and helps them make decisions. That's what it means to renounce. Renounce control. Give me control. I was so relieved. That people can understand. Not everybody does it, maybe. Well, that's what our Lord is saying here. Don't worry. Isn't your soul, your life, more than food and your body more than drink? And then he goes, now look at the birds of heaven. They don't spin. They don't weep. They don't gather into barns. And your Father, Heavenly Father, takes care of them. And aren't you worth more than they are? So which of you worrying, this merimnan keeps coming up, can add anything to his height or his size? And about clothes, what are you worried about? Look at the, you know, the flowers of the field. Now what's he saying? Walk around in your birthday suit until God clothes you? No. He's saying, let your heart be trusting. Now, who trusts God? Somebody who knows him. See, I can get so far with, I trust God whoever he is. But I can only really, when I really trust God, again, my brothers, you see, it comes back to a life of prayer. If we pray, we get to know him. And then, sir, sometimes it's still really hard to trust. Boy, I'm having a hard time trusting you, Lord. But I'm going to give it a shot. You see? Compared to the saints who just breeze along. Well, we're not there. But, you see, why worry? You know, these flowers, they're part of the grass. You know, they put it in the oven and there it goes. They make a fire to bake bread or something. You see? And then God will take care of you much more. And now he uses a very Matthean word, oligopisti, little faith. Not no faith, little faith. He challenges the disciples with this all the time. And so he goes on, you see, seek first the kingdom of God and the rest will come. And the kingdom of God ultimately is Jesus. Seek him, and you will have wisdom. Whether you're married or single, have a lot of money or none, you will know how to live, and you will be at peace, and God can guide your life to eternity. That's the purpose. That's why he says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry.